This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by my very good friend Alex Curtis, and we talk a lot about marketing and a lot about business and a few business principles and a bit of Alex's story that's really quite inspirational. So let's just dive straight on it. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and today I am joined by my good friend, and I can honestly call him a good friend because we had a bit of a bromance thing going on at a conference recently, Mr. Alex Curtis. How are you doing, buddy?
Hello, mate. Yes, I think we now are in the friend zone.
I'd hope so.
the bromance friend zone.
The bromance friend zone. I think there's probably like a little group of us. I don't think it's necessarily.
I think Bob's probably in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob's an absolute gent.
He is. I love Bob.
In fact, should we just scrap this episode and go, yeah, welcome to the Bob Gentle podcast.
Yeah, just get him. He's better than both of us, so.
You know what? We've now mentioned him twice. I'm going to have to put him in the show notes as a shout out, aren't I?
Oh, link back, SEO.
Oh, yeah. Hashtags. You name it. Alex is a returning guest, and you were on, it was a year ago. It was New Year's Eve that you were last on this show.
Yeah, you basically said that because no one listens on New Year's Eve, I knew you were going to be rubbish, so popped you in then. Which at least you're honest about. And to be fair, I think I said to you, I think it was my first time as a guest and I hadn't actually launched my podcast then. So I remember being a little bit nervous.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess.
Not because you were a big deal. Because podcasting was. And I had no idea who you were. I'm like, do you know what I mean?
Oh, this is going to be fun. So I'll pop a link to episode 31 in the show notes. We were talking about generating authentic leads, and it wasn't that you were, you weren't going to be good. We just, you know, that there's premium slots and there's not so premium slots. What can I say?
Brilliant. Yeah.
So, mate, do you want to, for anybody that hasn't listened to episode 31 and maybe hasn't come across your podcast and stuff, do you just want to give a brief intro as to who you are and what you do? And I'll try not to murder it like you did my intro. How about that?
Oh, brilliant. Okay, yes. So my name is Alex Curtis and I have an agency called The Lead Engine, and we basically specialize in lead generation for financial services businesses. So we work with like mortgage brokers, people that do equity release, business loans, things like that. So it's people basically giving financial advice, and our agency works with like the bigger sort of companies if they've got maybe sort of a lot of four or five advisors working for them. Maybe we've got a couple of smaller ones, and then we do like coaching and online support and tutorials for like the self-employed as well. We've got like a Facebook group and a podcast, and we'll probably talk about what's happened since we last spoke, but we've started doing a conference as well. So we do, and then also some of the mortgage network. So a lot of the mortgage brokers are part of a network, if that makes sense, that handle all their compliance and their access to the lenders and things like that. And I've been started to get invited to do workshops with some of them.
Cool.
So I'm doing a lot of work now, yeah, helping people that aren't actually our clients that maybe will be in the future.
So I think, I mean, obviously I met you, well, we should say that we did meet at Chris Ducker's Youpreneur Summit, and that was just over a year ago. We've both just been back to Youpreneur Summit a couple of weeks ago, and we had a bit of a blast and ate too many Pizza Expresses, I seem to remember.
I think we literally cloned dinners.
We did.
And I had exactly the same food, I think, both nights.
You did, and you sat in exactly the same chair.
I did, yeah. Yeah. Variety is the spice of life, mate.
Yeah, I'll introduce you to it one day. this Youpreneur, you were actually dragged up on stage by Mr. Ducker himself, who's also now going to have to go in the show notes because he's been mentioned twice.
Yeah.
And to talk about some of the changes that have happened in your business. So do you just want to sort of explain some of the changes that you've made in your business over the year and you know, how that's kind of how things have changed, basically.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So when we, so New Year's Eve last year, I was moving into our new office that we're in now. We used to have a little box room where I built these sort of big tables and we barely had any room to get around them. And now I'm in like our meeting room area. So we've got like two rooms, which is mental, with a glass partition because we're cool. Nice. And then I like a working area. And a separate area where I can now actually do my podcast and my filming and stuff. And I don't have to wait until, I used to work evenings to do like videos when there wasn't anyone in the office, or do like when it was their lunch break and things like that. So we've moved offices, launched the podcast in January. I genuinely thought nobody would listen, because it's like mortgage brokers, financial advice, like would they know what a podcast is or listen to podcasts and things like that? And that's far exceeded my expectations. It is bonkers. It's just ridiculous. And then we get phone calls in the office now and people saying, oh, you must get this all the time. I absolutely love the podcast. It's crazy. I genuinely thought we'd get about 30 downloads a month and that'd be my mum. So that's the podcast been a massive game changer. And then in October, we did our first financial services, a brand accelerator conference. We gave it a jazzy name, obviously.
Absolutely. You'd need to. Did it have a rocket for the logo by any chance?
It did not.
Mate, you're missing the trick.
We should have got a rocket on it. But Chris has done that with his incubator, hasn't he? So
He has. But I'll give you that piece of consultancy for free.
Well, thanks very much. We actually used elements of our company logo in a different way to combine the two. So it was
quite
clever.
Check you out being all brand consistent.
And all. I know. And then our icon made us look like some weird lines, but it's got an L in it. It's got an E in it. It's a lead dropping into a funnel. There's so much going on there.
You know.
But nobody cares, so.
No, absolutely.
Which people is probably, yeah.
Meh.
Exactly, and that's one of the things we're probably going to talk about today. But none of that really matters.
So, I mean, one of the things, as we were having our pre-chat, and as we were talking at Youpreneur, one of the things mm-hmm. that we did, or that did come up, was kind of your love of Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've sort of taken this on to a new level with Batman's business principles.
So
do you want to give us kind of a bit of the backstory to that, and then lead us through what you
Absolutely.
Mean, what the hell you're talking about there?
Yeah, Alex? So this is funny, because I had actually planned what I was going to say on stage at the Youpreneur Summit, and I was going to joke and say, you know, Chris obviously asked me, you know, what the summit meant for me. And I was going to say something along the lines of, you know, I had, I think one thing Todd Herman said in his talk when he opened the first day, knowledge isn't power, it's implementing it. And then these principles I knew for years, and we all know them, it's actually implementing them. And I was going to say it takes like a life-changing moment for that to happen. And so I was going to build it up as if it was going to the summit, and then say it wasn't actually the summit, it was watching Batman Begins. And hopefully I was going to get a laugh. The problem was, on that stage, there was these, the lady had done the Happy Self journal. So I knew that she'd sold 75,000 copies of her journal worldwide this year. Crazy. And then these two girls that I didn't know, they had just finished up talking about how Richard Branson invited them on Necker Island. So then Chris was like, oh, and Alex. I've never ever in my life felt imposter syndrome until that absolute so my whole, oh, I'm gonna try and make everyone laugh about Batman just went out the window. But what actually happened was, I was freelancing on my own, really, really struggling. I had all the digital marketing skills. I knew how to do SEO, PPC. I'd worked in agencies. I worked for some big brands, and I knew I was getting traffic to my website and things like that. I was ranking for stuff that I wanted to. But I wasn't getting many inquiries, firstly. And when I did, they were comparing me to like kids in their bedrooms or people in India or people on people per hour or Fiverr.
Yep.
And so it was stressing me out. I was got to the point where I was billing about 9 day rates a week.
Yeah, which if you think about it, that don't fit into 7, let alone fit into 5.
Yeah, exactly. So I was working 6 days from about 6 in the morning till about 11 o'clock at night, thinking I was winning at life because, you know, I'm working hard. I'm like, this is what you're meant to do, which is ridiculous. Killing myself, basically. And we were, my partner, Andrea, she was pregnant, and it was like January, and our daughter was born on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. And there was all, like, I've got a whole sort of sub story about how, basically, when she came out, she wasn't breathing, and like they pulled in about 7 nurses and doctors and everything like that, and that was crazy. Look and then, me. But she was, yeah, like, honestly, mental. So there's all these things that happen that you'd think would actually kick me into action to change. So that her being born didn't kick me into action to change, because I was back to work on the Tuesday. So I had the one day off paternity leave on the Monday. Back to work on the Tuesday.
Mate, you're such a catch. Your partner is such a lucky lady.
No, exactly, ridiculous. So it's back to work. Well, it gets worse.
Oh God.
So go back to work on the Tuesday, and I'm working for clients. I'm doing a lot of on-site stuff as well during the actual day. So there's a client close to our house at the time who it was just like I underquoted. I was working, I think it was even minimum wage or even less, it worked out. It was ridiculous. Didn't like I was working in their office, and it was a rubbish, awful office. It was like a manufacturing company. So I didn't like, you know, so going back because I didn't know how to get more clients. It was ridiculous. And then I think it was like the Wednesday or the Thursday. Luckily, I'm at that client, not on my other one across the other side of the country. Mm. She rings up like all panicking, saying, you've got to get home. You've got to get home quickly. And so I'm like, didn't even ask. I just literally belted it out, left all my stuff there. I've never driven a car as fast in my life. Thrashed, we had this Land Rover at the time, thrashed it through this country roads. Lucky there was only 5 minutes down the road. And then, so Andrea's on the sofa. She's like shivering. And then Eva, our daughter's on the side. And she's like, oh, no, I'm just check, she's all fine. So Eva was fine, but Andrea had some sort of viral infection or something like that. Yeah, I know. So the point is that this was not, Eva wasn't even a week old. I should have been on paternity leave.
Yeah.
Like, what was I doing working all these stupid hours for clients that didn't pay very well, that I didn't like, didn't enjoy, just because I was afraid of losing them because I didn't know how to get more? So you'd think that would, like, I had all this knowledge that, you know, people buy from people, and if we show and share our knowledge, but I wasn't doing any of that. And then I saw there's a guy called Mike Green, who's now like my business mentor. He basically did Secret Millionaire. And I had a meeting with him, and I thought, or maybe if he invests a load of money and all I need is cash, and then I'll be able to employ people to find. Had a meeting with him. We basically worked out that I was afraid to specialize, and I was losing out on business, because for specialists there was like this dentist website that I missed out on to a dentist specialist agency, but their websites were rubbish. I didn't understand that my websites were better than theirs, but they went with them because they were a specialist, if that makes sense. And then I was like, I remember like losing out onto this guy because he had a YouTube channel and he showed people how to do SEO, and I was afraid of doing that because I thought, if I tell people how to do it, they'll just go and do it themselves. And then I was afraid of putting my face out there. I remember there's another guy's like face was all plastered over his website, just because I didn't like the way I looked. So I was like 20 stone. I was like a computer geek. I didn't want to put my face out there.
Yeah.
So sitting down with him, we kind of worked out that I was afraid of specializing. I was afraid to put my face out there. I was afraid of failing. And yeah, that was what was holding me back essentially. So I knew I had to do all those things because I was actually losing out, because I'm not doing it, if it makes sense. And then, so you would have thought meeting with him, I'm like a millionaire who we identified what the problems were, that would solve the problem and like give me the kick up the ass that I needed. It wasn't. It was watching Batman Begins. Yeah, so it was after all those things didn't give me the kick up the bum, you know, and I hadn't been to, this was way before I knew of Chris Ducker. So that all that knowledge of things like people buy from people was all there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so watching the Batman Begins and all these little things happened. I think it was the night after seeing Mike, and I was stressed out about it all because I was expecting him to want to invest and that would solve my problems. But yeah, there's a scene in Batman Begins where Liam Neeson says, if you devote yourself to an ideal, you'll become something else entirely. And it was one of my favorite kind of quotes. And it kind of made me think, because I was thinking at the time after seeing Mike, maybe I'll put a page on my website about financial services. And then I remember thinking when Liam Neeson said that, and it was like the word devote yourself to your ideal. And I was like, unless I actually devote myself to helping like brokers generate more leads, it's not going to work. I have to like go all in.
Yeah.
And then later on, well, it's kind of earlier on in the film, there's bits like, there's a quote where it's, why do we fall? So that we can help, so we can learn to pick ourselves up again. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, because I was worrying about being rubbish on video and being rubbish at creating content. It was like, actually, unless I do it, I'm not going to get better at it.
Yep.
Which is totally true. And then other things like the whole sort of people buy from people is, it sounds weird, but everyone obsessed, like it's more so in the Dark Knight, everyone obsessed like who is Batman. There's a whole thing of like, I think the Joker wants to like find out who Batman actually is. And I think Harvey Dent kind of tries to take his place to protect Batman. There's a whole thing about wanting to know who it was. And I was like thinking like all these stock, I was looking at my website, I think all these stock images, everything was like my mask and I needed to take it off. And actually, because I knew, because knowledge isn't power, because I knew for ages, like this, you know, people say, oh, the best business is done down the pub, because it's all relationships. It's like, unless you actually meet people and you can meet them online, yeah, that will be another massive factor. And then the last one was when I was thinking about sort of sharing all this information, I think it's literally the last scene in Batman Begins where Gary Oldman says, oh, I never thanked you. And Batman says, you will never have to. And it kind of made me think, actually, and one of my, so I'll list the principles in it, probably should have done that earlier. But one of them is giving information without expectation. Mm-hmm. So the Batman helps everyone in Gotham and he doesn't expect anything in return. And what I've actually found is when I stopped putting like call to actions on stuff, stopped trying to sell, actually sold like a lot more. So the principles are, people buy from people, everyone loves a specialist. You can build rapport and generate sales if you give information without expectation, and failure breeds success. They're like the four things altogether, which I learned from Batman. Well, I didn't learn them. I put them into action after watching Batman. So, but yeah, they are the things that work and have worked for me, and what I sort of teach those self-employed brokers that we coach, because it does. It just works. It's the way our brain works. But the problem is we're afraid to do it. The thing that works in the opposite way is a lot of clients are afraid not to use a specialist, or they feel safer with a specialist. They feel safer when they know the person. They feel safer when they've seen that person share their expertise. It just kind of works.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean, particularly that there's this whole sort of dichotomy about, what do you charge? If you don't charge enough, that you seem that you're not specialist enough, or that you don't really know what you're doing. And it comes down ultimately to the types of clients that you're wanting to attract and understanding your audience. Mm-hmm. The best way of doing that is getting yourself out there. And I was very similar to you. I don't do anywhere near as much video as you do, because I'm still not that comfortable doing video. Mm-hmm. But I launching the podcast for me was a really big thing, and I really struggled with it. And actually, I delayed the launch of it by a couple of weeks because I just felt like I wasn't ready to go. But you know what? This is now episode 78, whatever this is going to be, and it's all of a sudden you get past that point, and it now just becomes part of life, and it's what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
That moment when you stood in a room and somebody you don't know says, "Hey, I listen to your podcast every week, and yeah. I've got this from it," and it makes everything you do seem worthwhile in a way that's not related to money, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So yeah, I completely get where you get coming from, and I love the way how you've tied it into Batman. I think that's
yeah. Cool. I think that people buy from people think I've kind of shoehorned it in there, but I had to shoehorn something. But it was genuinely that Liam Neeson quote where it's like, "Devote yourself." So it was a big like, you know, it's just something pinged in my head, and I was like, "I'm going to do this. I'm just going to niche down on that."
It's an interesting concept, that, because it's about, from a business point of view, it doesn't necessarily mean give 100% of your time. That's not the type of devotion you're talking about.
No.
It is to do with devoting yourself to a particular group of people, devoting yourself as well in terms of letting your personality come across, mm-hmm. And being you. At the end of the day, there only is one you. So, you know, just be that person. Don't try and be somebody else. And we've all done it when we've set up a business. I used to be a freelancer, and so that I didn't seem like a freelancer, I called my business Coda Digital Media and tried to build it as a WordPress development house. It was just me sitting in a room.
Exactly.
That's the reality.
Yeah. We all do it. I've done the same. Yeah, exactly.
You know, but there's something about not being ashamed of that. If you look at people like Philip Van Dusen, mm-hmm. he's been on the podcast before. I'll link to his show in the show notes as well, because he's worked for some of like the world's global brands. I mean, we're talking like Coca-Cola and Nike, the big people, and he now works off a laptop so that he mm-hmm. can, on his own as a consultant, so he can work from anywhere in the world, and he's just him. And that's exactly. It.
People buy from people.
People buy from people. There you go.
I think the other thing as well, the other kind of big thing that sort of changed after that as well, when it's like when you're the phrase devote yourself to your ideal, and your ideal is like your why. And that whole sort of what is your why is very sort of trendy at the minute, or has been in the last sort of, since Simon Sinek wrote that book. What I found is when I made my why, my ideal, about my client rather than about me. So a lot of people's like, what is your why? It's like my kids, it's like freedom and everything. I actually switched my ideal, my why, and made it all about my client. Mm-hmm. So my ideal that drives every bit of content that I make is I don't want anyone in financial services to stress about where their next deal is coming from. So whenever I make decisions on marketing or like trying to drive the business forward, especially the side, on both sides really, that it's all about them rather than about me. Hmm. I find then that helps me not put calls to actions on, that it helps me sort of think about what is actually going to help them rather than me. And when I do that, it helps me more. And I call it like being selfishly unselfish. If there's another bit of advice other than those four principles, is like having your like identifying what your why is if you haven't got one, but making it about your client rather than about you, which is really, really hard when you're starting out because you're so desperate for sales. When you've got into a position where you've got kind of leads coming in, you've actually nailed your sort of process, it's really easy to be like, I'll not put a call to action on because you're getting leads anyway, if you know what I mean. Mm. But that is a massive, massive thing. If you don't release an ebook because you want to get email subscribers, release an ebook because you want to help people like develop their business. And you could put an email capture on it to help, but don't make the reason for doing that ebook or whatever to get email addresses.
No, absolutely.
Make it to help people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my biggest lead magnet, I don't mean this isn't a bragging point, but it's just to prove the concept of what you're saying. My biggest lead magnet of everything I've tried, be it PDFs or email courses or this, that, and the other, my biggest or highest converting lead magnet is an Excel document that helps people do keyword mapping. Because they can just download an Excel document and guess what? They've got some help with their keyword mapping. That's it. That's it. It's, you know, it's not hooked into anything clever or fancy. It's an Excel document.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, yeah, you know, Chris Ducker talks about, becoming someone's favorite or remaining someone's favorite. And I think that's where, you know, you particular having met you sort of as you were on the verge of launching some of this stuff. I didn't know you where, you know, when a lot of the stuff that you were saying was going on, but having met you at Upreneur before you sort of actioned your podcast and your YouTube channel and your events and that kind of thing. And then seeing how things have changed over the last sort of 14, 15 months, however long it was, it's very obvious to see how you've kind of encapsulated that and that you're not selling for the purpose of selling. It's almost like you're educating or coaching. And then as a consequential effect of that, your business is helped out through gaining leads.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird. It's a odd like business plan to have because it doesn't make any sense.
Hey, I'm going to give away all my secrets.
Yeah.
So that people come and work with me.
But it works. And I remember one guy who is, I am one of his favorites, whatever way around, but he is one of those, no, I don't want to call him a super fan or anything, but he loves the podcast. We chat a lot. He's been on the podcast. And one thing he absolutely loved about my podcast was that there was no ulterior motive to it. And we've never, ever pitched our agency services on the podcast or in a Facebook group. We've got a community of brokers as well. Never once pitched our agency services in there. I've pitched like, I've sold event tickets and bits and bobs like that, but never sort of used it. I've created it doesn't make any sense. I've created my own media channel where a load of ideal customers listen and I don't advertise in it. That doesn't make sense, but it works better this way.
So let me sort of just pivot this a little bit. Man, I'm starting to use Upreneur language.
You are, mate. You are
getting... Let's pivot.
Whoa. Okay, man. Let's do that. The riches are in the niches.
I nearly said to you earlier, mate, you're so full of tweetables, and I stopped myself. that's true. I nearly said that. So one of the things I get messages about, and God knows why people ask me this, because I don't have all my stuff lined up at all by quite a long way. But one of the things I get asked quite a bit is, it's easy for you to say these things because you've already got it set up.
Yeah.
So it is a kind of sort of means to sort of wrap this up and sort of come back to where we started with your sort of story about where you were. What sort of advice would you give to somebody that is saying, yeah, I completely see that, but where the flipping heck do I start?
Yeah, so I think start, yeah, so I didn't do all, so those four principles didn't all happen at once. What I recommend to like our sort of self-employed brokers, people just starting out, is to start with the giving information without expectation. So start doing that and then start bringing your personality into it. So I've got like for our brokers, I've got like a 30-minute marketing plan where it shows them where to do their sort of keyword research, find the questions that people are asking about their specialism. I suppose ideally it would like choose your specialism, whether you can, don't, if you've got a website already. So what I did, I didn't change my whole website straight away. I had two sort of areas of expertise. One was in completely nothing to do with financial services. It was like sports products. I'd worked with quite a few companies, so like portable football floodlights. There's these things called recovery boots, cryotherapy chambers. So it was like products for sports mm-hmm. and financial services. And in my head, I thought the financial services was a bigger market because they could scale quicker. They just need them, a person and a laptop.
Yep.
Because the other one was like manufacturing, a bit harder scale. But then, but my gut was with financial services. So I started creating content as if I had already niched. Mm-hmm. But got my content plan together around that. And then, so I started creating the content, then started blending myself in a bit, little bit more. First, it was just with pictures. So I changed like the hero image. And then started doing video and things like that. So it was like one step at a time. Mm. But I think it's choose one area to focus on. And if you're caught between two, go with your gut and try that one first. If you've got some budget, try a bit of advertising, but create content as if you had officially niched, but don't tell the rest of the world. And then when you feel like, yeah, there is a market here, I am getting a bit of traction, then start making the overhauls to your main website. And then start doing something like, you don't like the podcast on its own would probably be fine without the video. I'd probably still be doing all right. So if you don't want to get on camera, don't. If you do, my advice would be, like, anyone can do it. I did an Instagram challenge. So I challenged myself to do a 1 minute video every working day for a month. And by video 15 to 20, I forgot the camera was there and then just started doing it. It was part of the routine. But I failed in private because I set up a new Instagram account, didn't follow anyone, didn't ask anyone to follow me, and then just posted them out on there. So it made me do it, but I was doing rubbish ones on my own, if that makes sense. And that got me into it. So that was one step. And then I've got another amazing bit of advice, but I've forgotten what it is. It's gone.
But it's gone.
Come on, there's
it's
so
that,
much
gold. That amazing.
It's that amazing. What was it? So what do I... So don't officially niche. Do the Instagram thing. That's pretty good, isn't it? Like, you're not paying me for this, Pete, are you? So, like,
what? wasn't planning on it, mate. I'll be perfectly honest.
I do feel like there's something else that I would recommend if I was starting out, but I think it is like, don't think you have to. Like, I mean, Chris Ducker says it's an absolute cliche. Don't compare someone's 100th footstep to your first. It is little bits at a time, and then you will look like. If I think where I was when we first spoke, like, I don't feel like there's a lot of change day by day, but actually when you prompted me to think back to a year ago, I'm like, bloody hell, we have done a lot, but it doesn't feel like it because we're making little changes every day.
So you have done a lot.
We have done a lot, but don't try and change your business like drastically tomorrow. One thing Mike Green, my business mentor, said to me, well, at the end of our first session, get a plan or get a effing job. So I got a plan.
Well, you didn't. You didn't. You went home and watched.
Yeah, Batman. I didn't. That's a ridiculous thing. So you got a multi-millionaire telling you to get a plan. You go and watch Batman. So that's what happened.
Well, look, at least you're honest about it, and it does make for one hell of a story. That's for sure.
It's there, buddy.
So no, mate. Thank you for being so honest and that. If people want to sort of, I was going to say get hold of you. That sounds a bit threatening. If people want to communicate with you, you are in our Facebook group.
I am.
But how else can people stalk you online?
So I'm on LinkedIn. I'm a bit rubbish at social media. I suppose my YouTube channel is one thing that I'm sort of working on. And can I quote Chris Ducker? If you want to learn how to build a personal brand and build a team around you, you need to follow this guy on YouTube because he does like silly videos, but there's a load of gold in there. Something along those lines. But
he didn't mention anything to do with gold from memory.
Yeah, well, there was an endorsement stuck about following my YouTube channel, which I'm doing. I say what I've. Have I got time to tell you what my
go for it, mate? Yeah, absolutely.
So basically my Thursday is my YouTube day. So I plan to I'm just similar to my 30-minute marketing. I'm using TubeBuddy to find like the keywords that I could potentially rank for around sort of financial services. But what I'm doing with my videos, I'm combining a video with like a film. Mm-hmm. So last week I did using Facebook for car finance leads or something like that. So I combined that with Gone in 60 Seconds.
Right.
So it will have clips in there and kind of the film and references to it and things like that. And then so tomorrow is the keyword is a marketing plan for brokers, and I'm using Mission Impossible.
Nice.
And so there'll be like and then I always make a mistake, an intentional mistake in it, which is to make people laugh. But they, you know, in the first Mission Impossible, when they go down that sort of, he's on the he's tied to ropes and he goes down the like the hole and he's
stops before the floor.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put a green cloth over my coffee table here, and then it will cut to me, and when you'll still see the green cloth and everything, and it'll just be like along the lines of, guys, I don't think this is gonna work, and then just carry on. So there's like a, it'll break up each point with like a joke related to the film that's in there, or just have a clip of the film or something. So yeah, check those out. And that was a long way of saying have a look at my YouTube channel. Yeah.
So if people want to find you online, they can find you in our group, LinkedIn, or your YouTube channel.
Yes.
Perfect. But
I'm rubbish on Instagram. I do, LinkedIn's like my predominant, where I've got actual traction. So I'm on LinkedIn, but I'm rubbish on everything else.
Cool. Links to all of those profiles will be in the show notes, which there'll be a link in the intro and outro to tell you exactly where those are. Mate, thank you so much for your time. You're dead right. I'm not paying you for this. Oh. It's been cool to talk to you again. We need to make sure it's not like another 6 months before we cut, because we did meet mid-year.
No, absolutely. So Atomicon, I think we're both going to, right?
Oh yeah, I'd forgotten about Atomicon.
Yeah, so it's April, May sort of time. So yeah, defo.
Yeah.
Gin o'clock.
Cool, gin o'clock. All right, well, I'll see you at the bar. I believe the next round's yours. Oh. And
I probably owe you a drink for this episode. You haven't got a choice but to publish it. And I've just rambled on about a load of nonsense. So I probably owe you a drink for this.
Mate, thanks for your time. I'll see you soon.
No debating it.
No, none at all. Brilliant. Not at all. We're done. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. You hang up first. Oh, that's my job, innit?
Yeah.
Thanks for your time, mate. Alex is a really top bloke, so make sure you do go and check him out on his YouTube channel and his LinkedIn profile and places like that. All the links are in the show notes that can be found at peteeverett.com/078. And this week we have our Black Friday sale on the Demystifying SEO course, and we're giving you a massive 33% off, which brings it down to $1 above the launch price. So if you're interested in that, go and visit marketingdevelopment.academy. It will forward you straight on, and I'd be delighted to welcome you into the course. We'll see you next week.